You're listening to Games of Future Past on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Games of Future Past.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's roll.
That's Dave.
Hey, hi.
All right, we're going to talk to you about Dragon Quest.
Yeah.
Warrior, as it were, even maybe possibly.
We'll be a little bit of both, probably. Yeah, necessarily, because of how I'm sure to a lot of degree, a lot of what we'll be talking about will be chalked up to localization. And what we're talking about is Dragon Quest Builders.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a really neat game. I played through the entirety of the demo, mm-hmm. with my daughter, and she was loving every second of it because she loves Minecraft. This was it is in many ways a cuter, more directed Minecraft. And I really liked it because I liked how it just basically grafted a Dragon Quest like structure onto Minecraftian bones, mm-hmm. I guess. I really enjoyed the demo. But when you mentioned this to me, there was something specific that you noticed. What was that, Tim?
Oh yeah. So the thing with the Dragon Quest Builders, it is that this game is in fact a direct sequel to Dragon Warrior the First.
You looked this up. This is officially canon. This was something
it's
intended to do.
Undeniable if you've played the fucking game, man. Even the demo, it is evident. Depending, I guess, on how much you remember of the original Dragon Quest. So that game is 30 years old.
Right, and that's what I have not played it. Yeah, I haven't played it since then. So
yeah, so
I need a refresher.
Yeah, specifically in Dragon Quest 1, or Dragon Warrior as it was known over here, and we all got it for free from Nintendo Power, because that's just what you did at the time.
Yep.
There is spoilers for Dragon Warrior 1, by the way. Towards the end of that game, when you encounter the final boss, the Dragon Lord, whose castle you can see from the first where you spawn on the world map, you can see
great
it across
touch.
The water. But it takes, grinding around the entire world to actually get there. So you are presented with a choice by the Dragon Lord. You can either, he asks you to join him so you may rule the world side by side. Or you can say no and beat him up. But if you say yes and you join him, he just kills you. Right then and there. So this game is a direct sequel to that ending. In a universe in which the descendant of Erdrick decided to join the Dragon Lord, failed, and Dragon Lord's darkness swept the land. And here, this is,
because that's how Builders opened, right? There's a little cinematic with text that where you're talking to the Dragon Lord.
Yeah, yes.
This is how Builders begins.
Yeah, it starts off with that dialogue and that choice being presented to your character from the first person. I haven't quite sorted whether you're just a different descendant of Erdrick or you are actually that character. Obviously, you couldn't be a female in Dragon Quest 1, though I guess that's up to interpretation. It's never explicitly stated one way or the other, and you're just a little sprite, so it could be whatever. So you wake up in this tomb, and you have to kind of craft your way out of it. And you find the world has been covered in darkness and is being ruled by monsters and the Dragon Lord's minions. And it's up to you to go around and rebuild the cities that you visited in Dragon Quest 1 to restore light to the land.
Yeah, yeah. And so in Builders, the first city that you start to rebuild is Cantlin, right?
Yes.
And which
is one that you would have gone to later in the game in Dragon Quest 1.
Okay.
It's on the southern part of the Dragon Quest map. It is notable in Dragon Warrior that the entrance to the city is guarded by a golem that you have to fight before you can gain entry to the city.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
So, yeah, everything around this chapter in Dragon Quest Heroes revolves around, there used to be this beautiful city here. It was, you know, it was destroyed by this golem, or was protected by this golem, but then ended up getting destroyed by the golem. And you kind of find out why that happened after, you know, this is stuff that takes place between Dragon Warrior and this game. So like you are traversing the map of Dragon Warrior 1 kind of recreated in these, you know, in pixel block format. There's no bridges. So you need these teleportals to kind of jump between the different little islands.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Because, you know, the demo stops at the first teleportal. So that's
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all that I've seen.
Oh, man.
So I've definitely picked up on it. Obviously, there are, you know, in the demo, you know, it starts out with that conversation with the Dragon Lord. You know, there's a lot of talk about the legends of the city of Cantlin. And so I was definitely picking up on the fact that they were, you know, a cues from Dragon Quest, you know, from the original game, but I wasn't sure to what degree they were just reusing these specific pronouns for nostalgia's sake, in the same way that Final Fantasy reuses the same certain names again and again, even if they have no direct connection. And I also didn't know, not having played many of the other Dragon Quest games in the series, how often any of these pronouns like Erdrick and Cantlin are continued throughout this. I know that there's not much continuity from game to game, but I wondered how much, if any.
No, there is zero. It's like Final Fantasy, where none of the games really relate to each other other than you know, that all that kind of stuff that carries over.
That's always been my presumption.
It's like that. So yeah, this is a direct sequel. And even as you get a little further along and you start encountering some of the different monsters, like specifically the Hammerhoods and the Bodkin Archers, which did not appear in the first Dragon Quest, they talk about how they are recent additions to the Dragon Lord's forces. But other than that, no, you're seeing those enemies. Like at night, the ghosts come out, like the ghost that you'd see in the original Dragon Quest.
There's
slimes abound. There's the lonely armor sets, the magicians, the golems, the wyverns.
Yeah.
All that stuff is, that's what the monsters that the overworld is populated with. And as you go around, like I played Dragon Quest 1. I played the re-release for Game Boy Color that was 1 and 2 on one cartridge. And I played that back when I lived on Eagle Street, and I was playing it on a Game Boy player, I believe, on the GameCube.
That's fairly recent, all things considered.
More
recent than 1990.
Yeah. So it was like over 10 years ago instead of over 20 years ago. I had just basically said, like, I'm going to play the first Dragon Quest game. I can do this. Because it's really just a matter of patience and grinding. And
something else I wanted to ask you was, is the Game Boy Color port the best, most modern way to play the original Dragon Quest?
Yeah, I mean, it's not especially different. It just is in color, I guess. It's really not that much different than the first one. It was just a matter of convenience.
Okay.
It's like slightly enhanced, maybe, I think, in terms of like there's more colors in the palette, so they use them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like no big deal. Like if you wanted,
they didn't streamline the interface though.
It wasn't the kind of remakes that you see. I mean, it might have had an anywhere. I don't really remember that. I don't remember.
Because I think, didn't you used to have to pick, like, to climb stairs? Didn't you have to pick that from a menu option instead of just walking on the stairs?
Oh, God. Yeah, something like that. Or you'd have to look at the ground or...
Yeah.
You'd have to, if you wanted to search a square on the map, which was important to find certain integral items. Dragon Warrior 1 is bullshit, by the way.
Yeah.
That game is fucking bullshit in some ways. You'd have to open a menu, click search, and then you would search the ground around your feet rather than just tapping A to like look or whatever automatically. Like, so it was very tedious because there's one particular item you need to find in a town by doing that. And that's that's a huge pain in the ass.
Because they were pulling cues from graphical adventure games still.
And... Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. But yeah, like things... it's kind of crazy, the stuff that's in there. Like, if you recall, there's a town that is pretty much deserted in the original Dragon Warrior.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. With an armor shop
that is, like, guarded by one of those lonely armor sets.
Yeah.
And that is in Dragon Quest Builders. Like,
that's cool. I think
the third area you go to through, like, the second or third teleporter you go through, you have to go find, like, this blacksmith's descendant, and you find, like, you know, there's, like, a blacksmith's shop that's, like, all kind of surrounded by swamp and in, like, some desert area, and you go to, when you open the door, you are attacked by that thing. It's crazy. Man. Like, right now, the second chapter of the game takes place... I can't remember the name off the top of my head. It's like the last area before you go to fight the Dragon Lord in Dragon Quest 1. So it's like the one I'm the least familiar with.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to get it up towards Alefgard. but yeah, Dragon Quest Builders, that is a sweet game. That is really fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I would definitely like to actually buy the whole game at some point. And I guess the big question for me is well, do I get the PS4 version or the Vita version? And I guess, you know, if I get the PS4 version, then at least I can remote play it to the Vita, and that's then I could theoretically have it. But I don't know. There, I feel like there'd be something nice of having that game on a portable. It's the kind of... You know, well, I got to sit down and I got to accomplish these things. And I really like playing Dragon Quest games on portables. There's sort of a bookish quality to them. Like, well, I can sit down and bang out this little side quest here. I really, really like how it really incorporates the gameplay loop of Dragon Quest that is so... hooky and endearing, and but it's also got that particular quality of Dragon Quest that it is, the text is that it's a bit verbose,
yeah,
sometimes too much, and that is both charming and annoying.
Yeah, I actually do play the game in pretty short stints generally. Like, sometimes I'll get into it for like an hour and change, and I just can't stop because I want to do the next thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be very addictive, so it definitely would work on a portable. But thanks to, you know, the PS4's rest mode, it's actually pretty easy for me to pick it up and put it down. And
put it down.
I would say, though, like, you know, if you're going to play it with Julia Page, then maybe you want it on a bigger screen.
Right, right, yeah. But she really likes it. I mean, the thing is that when I play it with her, I have to sit and read all the text out loud to her and differentiate the voices. And so it's a whole thing.
Dad mode.
It gets a little tedious, but she loves it.
Yeah, it's really cool, though. Like, the way the game is formatted is kind of weird, because, like, once you finish chapter one and go on to chapter two, you kind of lose everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, you don't keep your equipment. You don't, like, walk into the next area with, like, okay, well, I'm... You like, keep your recipe list.
Okay.
But, like, the resources aren't... You can't, like, carry a forge with you to the next area and just drop that thing down. Like,
you have to start from scratch.
You basically have to start anew.
That makes sense.
It does make sense, because... But it's interesting because... I'm in the second area, and it does not go through, like, the exact same progression as the first area at all.
That's great.
Yeah, there is... That's good. The second area is much more focused on, it's this poisonous, disease-ridden area. So, like, one of the first things you have to do is you have to build an infirmary, and you will find sick people, and you have to carry them back to your base, put them in bed, and then, like, work on nursing them back to health.
Oh, man.
I haven't gotten a forge yet. To this point, I actually don't even have a mason's workshop. I have a carpenter's workshop, and I have, like, a sewing station. So, like, the armor and equipment that I'm making is totally different. I just made a garden so I can grow crops.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's like different places have different needs. Like, in the first area in Catalina, you're really focused on like building up your defenses because there's this great fear of the golem is going to come back and destroy our town. You're constantly under attack. So there's a lot of this emphasis on like stonework and building up traps and defenses around your town. And here it's just like trying to nurse the land and people back to health. So there's much more of a focus on like clean water and medicine and vegetation. And like I kind of thought that I was going to finish chapter one and I was going to flip over to chapter two and be like, you know, I'm going to put this game down for a while and like come back to it. But
it was different enough that
it was different enough that I've completely stuck with it. And there's new materials you find that you don't find in that first area.
Yeah. And that's what I've so it got to the point where I was like literally traversing the entire landmass of and finding creative ways to do so, like really poking at the edges of it to see if there was anything else that I could find here, because like I was getting recipes for things that I couldn't make yet because those materials didn't exist until you got to the next area.
Yeah.
And you can't do that in the demo. Yeah. So, you know, I was like building creative little bridges across the poisonous swamps in that area. I tried to fight the giant sleeping dragon that's there.
I didn't find the fucking dragon.
No.
Like this is one of the things that is kind of annoying about the game is that each chapter has some side quests, but you don't know what they are until you finish the chapter and it says, did you do these things? And it said, did you defeat the three dragons? I'm like, there's fucking dragons?
Three dragons?
There's three dragons.
Whoa.
Well, they're probably scattered across like the three teleportals that you get. But still, I was like, okay. You'd think I would have found one of them, but I totally did not.
Wow.
Unfortunately, you kind of make an end game save before you go on to the next chapter. So you can go back and do stuff.
Okay.
And explore and build.
Did you play the demo before you purchased it or did you purchase it and start playing?
No, I played the demo. The demo sold me on the game, really.
Okay. Yeah. Then you played this because I wondered because there's this big sleeping dragon that you cannot seem to defeat in any way. And so I'm like, I wonder if they just put this in for the demo or is this literally how the real game goes? And
well, once you get better equipment and stuff, like you get to there, you come back. You can make bombs later on. Once you find rock bombs, you can take their shards and mix them with some other stuff to make like actual bombs. And I bet you the dragon would not appreciate that.
Yeah.
I really want to go back and like find them. Like that swampy area, I didn't even run across. Because you kind of have to go over that hill.
Oh, you have to go over the whole mountain. Exactly.
You have to go over the whole mountain to get to it. And I was like, what the fuck is all this? I didn't even see this.
Yeah.
It's crazy. There's plenty to explore out there. There's this one area I found in chapter two that just like I have no idea what to do with it. Like there seems to be some kind of puzzle to it. It's like way, way, way off to the side. And I'm just like, man, I don't know. It's really cool though. Dragon Quest Builders is cool as shit. And like for someone like me who's been on the outside of Minecraft looking in, going like, like this is pretty much the perfect way to introduce it to me through the Trojan horse of Dragon Quest.
There are all these dangers that you the dragon I love that they have accomplished in a open 3D world that same sense of I can see this thing that I cannot engage with right now, but because I can see it there, I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? It's that same sense of discovery. And wondering what is there as starting out and being able to see the final castle from the very beginning of the game.
Yeah. You can walk anywhere in the original Dragon Warrior. Like there's nothing stopping you. Yeah. It's just the fact that you're going to get murdered. The way things work in Dragon Quest One is like, and I know I keep flipping back and forth between the names, is that, you know, if you see a bridge, you go over that bridge, you know the monsters on the other side of that bridge are going to be way tougher than what you've been fighting. And even just on that first kind of landmass, the further away you get from the castle, the more likely it is that you're going to encounter ghosts and magicians and stuff. Like, you really got to, like, push your way out very slowly, killing slimes and building up your equipment before you can start pushing out more, but
it gives a real sense of tension that you are allowed to engage with that stuff before you can handle, so that you can see and prepare for, it gives you the sense of, well, there's this specific danger. And so I'm going to do this before I try to tackle it.
Mm-hmm.
I, I know that there have been countless cheap, quick and dirty cash-in clones of Minecraft since its inception. Mm-hmm. That this is the first major dev studio to make to borrow many of the mechanics of Minecraft wholesale, virtually unchanged, and yet build a really, really well-structured Dragon Quest game around it is as equally impressive. It is such an impressive feat that it kind of sweeps under the rug any accusations of borrowing someone else's game design wholesale. Minecraft has become such a big thing in such a short amount of time. It's hard to say that it's become a whole genre unto itself, because so many of the games that have borrowed its ideas have not done anything new or creative or different with those ideas. This is the first time that you could say someone, you know, this is like, I don't know, what was the first first-person shooter that we stopped calling a Doom clone? It's like that.
Okay.
Whatever that was.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, Minecraft is only 5 years old. Jesus.
God. That's crazy.
Game, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that it took 5 years for someone to make a clone of the game that improves upon the original template.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big feat.
Yeah. That's about it for this kind of hybrid episode. Dragon Quest/Dragon Quest Builders.
Yeah, check it out. It was really good. And the demo is substantial. Play that demo, spend a couple hours with it and get a feel for this game. If you don't think of yourself as a Minecraft person, but you could be a Dragon Quest person, you got to play this demo.
Yeah, absolutely. That demo will probably decide you on the game. Is Dragon Quest on the NES Classic Edition, or is Final Fantasy the RPG that's on that?
Final Fantasy is the sole RPG. Yeah, which struck me as unusual, but you know.
Yeah, as of this recording, like that thing is out today.
People are
scrambling to find one. Yeah, it is the hot gift this Christmas, apparently. Yeah. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch y'all next time.